Hello and welcome to Super Rugby round. Oh, what is it? I've gone blank now. Anyway, round six. There we go, round six preview. Oh dear. Hi, I'm Paul, the guy behind Driving Maul, your best pleasure predictions and opinion. And joining me this evening to go through all the games is Ryan. How are you doing, sir?
Yeah, not too bad. I guess recovered from what was a pretty terrible weekend in New Zealand, but
no, yeah. Absolutely, and that's one of the things that's going to be bearing on the minds of how these teams have managed to prepare this week, because they're not going to be fully, how do they get heads fully about the rugby? A place that will have its head fully about the rugby is the Tribe Sports app, isn't it? Why don't you give us a quick rundown as to what your coverage is going to be like this weekend?
Yeah, it's a full live text commentary of all the Super Rugby games, but there's plenty of other rugby on there as well. Premiership, Pro 14, Major League Rugby, Super W for live scoring. So we've got all your rugby action on Tribe.
So the Tribe Sports app goes to the App Store on Twitter, or, well, not Twitter, sorry, on Apple or Google or whatever, that kind of thing. It'll be there.
And it's free.
Free, look at that. What more could you ask for, apart from a wonderful free service? So we kick off the weekend with the Blues versus the Highlanders. I guess the thing we've got to sort of talk about first before we go any further is that the Blues haven't beaten another New Zealand franchise for 20 games. So does that basically mean we don't have to bother previewing the game? It's basically the Highlanders will win?
Well, the last one that they did beat was the Highlanders at Eden Park. So yeah, it'll be kind of history repeating, I guess, if they did get the win. Who knows?
So it's been 20 games since they've won. Looking at the selections, I thought there's a few, only three changes to the win over the Sunwolves, but a bit surprised to see that the bench looks stronger than the starting 15.
Yeah, I guess dropping Carl Tuanukuafi back to the bench, bringing in Ofa Tonga Fussy, that adds a real impact in terms of front row and scrummaging. In the week one game against the Crusaders, they had that combination as well, and they did make a big impact coming on and disrupting the Crusaders' scrum. So probably looking for that kind of impact again. And I expect a bit earlier than maybe you'd see a normal sort of front row substitution. Tuipulotu Papali'i as well. Lots of firepower there to bring on, and lots of experience, which I think the Blues in the past have failed to shut out games that they've had chances to win. I wonder whether it's a move to have a little bit more experience finishing games rather than the rookies kind of running through until the 80th.
Yeah, it is a very experienced match. Tunga Fassi, Tuani Kafi, Tuipulotu, Papali'i, Pulu, Black. I mean, yeah, it's a very experienced bench there. All those players have got All Black. Terry Black hasn't, sorry. All the others have got All Blacks experience. So Blake Gibson is the captain that's starting off. Harry Plummer at 10, are you happy with that? Or it's blown a bit hot and cold for me, but do you think the young man is time to give him his, let him loose?
I'm not convinced. I think I prefer Oteru Black as the 10 option. But it looks to me as if Plummer's perhaps edged ahead of him in the pecking order. The key thing I think with Plummer is he's got to kick his goals. Yep. And he probably offers a little bit more of a running threat. But I like Black as more of the general and the goal-kicking type. So perhaps, you know, it's a similar thought that he can come on and close the game down and control things. But Plummer's getting his opportunity, and you know, as a Blues fan, he's hoping he takes it.
Yep. Looking at the Highlanders, we've got this. This is a, I think, pretty much a full-strength Highlanders. You've got your Ben Smith, your Aaron Smith, Naholo, Luke Whitelock, all Shannon Frizzell, Dylan Hunt. You've got pretty much, I say, a full strength side there. My only question for this one is Marty Banks ahead of Josh Oene. That's Marty, the cult hero, purely because of his hair, I think, more than anything else. To start expecting that?
Wasn't expecting it. I think it's perhaps a case of managing some minutes for Ioane. Gatland was pretty disappointing when he had his opportunity to start. So I think they've got three tens in the squad that are probably all a little bit much of a muchness. Ioane's probably the one with the most potential. Banks gets his chance to start and I guess give Ioane a little bit of a breather coming off the bench. Interesting too, I think they've got a reasonably strong bench as well. Not quite the same sort of All Black experience, but you have got guys like Jackson Hemelpool, Siadi Tokelahi, a good scrummager off the bench, and Ioane and Buckman to add some cover in the backs as well. So yeah, I think both teams with plenty of impact to come off the pine.
Yep, and actually one of the shortest injury, just a kind of media comment, this is perhaps the shortest media release I've ever seen to go with the Highlanders, the call out. It was like two paragraphs long, about three lines per paragraph, just listing basically who was playing where. There was very little information at all in that one. Probably also their shortest injury list we've ever seen for the Highlanders. Only three players on that injury list, Nebrua, Squire and Thompson. So the Highlanders in, I say, one of the better places, player availability at least, they have been for a long time. So what was your call for this one?
I have to go with the Blues. Blues by 7.
Really? Wow. I went Highlanders, but I've gone and not got up my actual predictions. I can't remember how many what it was. I think it was 5, but I'll just bring it up now. But yes, as I say, I just, with 20 losses on the trot, I just don't see how you can really back the Blues. But
you back them with your heart instead of your brain.
Well, that's the whole point, isn't it? Is that I do it for the. I'm trying to be as partial as I can be. Next up, we have the Hurricanes versus the Stormers. We were just chatting pre-show that basically the Hurricanes lineup has only come out about an hour ago, well, maybe an hour and a half, but which is crazy late. If teams, and I'll probably get onto this later, but if teams really and Super Rugby really want us to create a buzz about what's going to happen at the weekend, they need to let us know the players earlier so we can talk about it.
I think, I can't remember who was talking to me, but I think they said that there is a stipulation that they have to be out within 48 hours. And if you've noticed with the Brumbies lineups, they've often been playing Friday night and releasing their games really late on a Wednesday, almost exactly 48 hours before. So New Zealand teams are not normally like that. Normally quite often early or partway through the day is when they release theirs. But the Hurricanes, very late for them. They're normally a team that releases at about 4 p.m. New Zealand time. I think we were closer to 6 this today. So, yeah, interesting.
Yeah, I know. You're right. The global the laws of rugby say you have to do it 24 hours before. Oh, sorry, 48 hours before. But for me, I've really liked is the Bulls getting theirs out very early over in South Africa. That's basically one of the problems South Africa had was that all the teams would release their squads at exactly the same time, which meant that the press or the media basically had one day to talk about it. Whereas if you release a day earlier, it means that all the media coverage is going to be about you. And that way you create more of a buzz. Now, I understand there are coaches want to keep tactics under wraps and all that kind of stuff, but at the moment I think it's much more important to try and get as many fans through the gates and people interested in Super Rugby rather than actually worry about actually winning and losing games so much.
It's interesting from my perspective where I'm sort of hunting the lineups every day, and I much prefer the kind of Premiership and Pro 14 system where they all come out at once relative to what day they're playing, whereas with the Super Rugby teams I'm kind of got my Twitter alerts set up and kind of hoping and hunting for a few. So yeah, I can kind of understand where you're coming from in terms of trying to generate buzz and grab the media's attention for a particular time slot, but I think as a fan it's quite interesting Especially when you compare it to the NRL, who name all theirs at a set time on a Tuesday, well ahead of the weekend. And I think fans actually kind of get into that as an extra event for the week. Like, here's where our teams get named. This is something to look forward to rather than kind of waiting and wondering when a team's going to come out.
Yeah, exactly. If they all got released on sort of Wednesday lunchtime or Wednesday sort of mid-afternoon, that would be that'd be perfect. That would be my idea. So anyway, let's look at the Hurricanes lineup. They did produce, and we have got something that this is perhaps a peek into the future. Bowden at 10, Jordy at 12. This is the position that Jordy's been saying he wants to play. Are you excited to see how he goes?
I think it's going to be interesting. He's played a fair bit of junior rugby there. I think it's where he played most of his under 20 stuff at 12. Combining with his brother's obviously going to be really interesting. Partly it's because of Nani Lamapi having to have his little All Black break. But and he's the form player of the tournament, so I can't see Jordy staying there for too long. But it'll certainly be interesting to see not only how he goes at 12, but how he combines with his brother, because I'm sure they've thrown plenty of passes to each other in the backyard growing up.
Oh, no, don't. Oh, dear me, here we go. They've got the backyard rugby. and also, I think Chase Tiatia has made a very good case, making it hard to drop him as well, himself at fullback.
Yeah, and they've got a whole heap of depth in the outside backs. So, you know, Ben Lamb comes in. Wes Hoosen had a strong performance last week in a rear start, so he gets to keep his starting position. Chase Tiatia hasn't, you know, he's made every post a winner at fullback. So you're right, yeah, it's rewarding guys that are in form as well. And there's some exciting talent we still haven't even seen yet. And the likes of, I mean, Salisi Rausi, I think, came off the bench last week. But, he's a guy that in a lot of teams I think would be starting on the wing. So, yeah, kind of shuffling the deck and fitting a team into to what they, you know, what they need.
Well, I looked at the name at number 23 and went, who? Because Danny Tuala. I mean,
Danny Tuala.
Tuala. Someone I've not heard of.
He's out of the Hastings Boys factory, I guess you could call it. Come through the national winning side and I think played his first season of Mitre 10 Cup last year with Hawke's Bay. So a good Hurricanes region kid and big opportunity for him off the bench.
And I guess the other sort of, the one big thing we should have talked about is Ardie Surveyor moving back to 7 with Princip coming in at 8. Ardie really has really looked good in the last couple of games when I've gone blank, when he's actually gone back to 7 Kahifi, is it? That's right.
Kahifi, yep.
There we go. Has gone off the pitch. So, I think that's probably a good move for them as well.
Yeah, well, I think you get both him and Vaia Fifita back in their best positions, with Fifita shifting back to 6, Princip to number 8, and Severe at 7.
And so up against a Stormers side that's been going well after the opening game. Willems still starting on the bench rather than on the park. Dylan Lades and Jean-Luc Duplice keeping him out. So they got some action to come off the bench. Looking at the Ebenezerbeth is in there. Khaleesi, they've got their big names all lined up.
Yeah, and I mean I didn't rate the Stormers' chances early in the season. I thought they were abysmal in week one. I thought that was a sign of things to come. But they've turned it around, and I think, you know, credit to them. They've kind of got themselves right in the thick of the African Conference race. They do have plenty of quality in terms of Springbok experience, and I think that's helped them. And that bringing Etzebeth back in after he missed the first two or three rounds, Khaleesi's a great leader, and then you've got plenty of quality up front, and the likes of Kitsoff, Franz Malherber, and Bongi Umbanambi. So this could be a game that's won or lost up front. And I think, you know, if you look at the teams on paper, as much as the Stormers, you know, probably don't travel that well historically.
I was going to say, on paper, you definitely, yeah, you'd rather have that Stormers.
Absolutely.
Pack. To me, so I just, an interesting little stat is that Stormers, their worst defensive time is in that opening 20 minutes where they give up most of their tries. So I think the Hurricanes are going to have to get, I think it'd be good for them to get a good start and then get ahead and keep ahead, because the Stormers have been great actually defensively, and they've only scored 6 tries, but they've only conceded 8. When you think the Hurricanes have scored 17 tries, or nearly 3 times as many tries, it is a bit of attack versus defense here, as the Storm is going to rely on kicking, and it being that windy stadium, I've just got to back the Hurricanes in this one.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's pretty much a rule of thumb, isn't it, that you back the New Zealand teams at home against the South African ones. I'm not super confident, having seen the Hurricanes line up, but yeah, I'll tip the Hurricanes as well.
I've gone Hurricanes by 5. How confident have you been?
Yeah, Hurricanes by 6.
6. Oh, Alex has gone Hurricanes by 10 in the chat. Tars Crusaders, this has got to be one of this. There's got to be one of those. The sort of matchups that the Tars really hate, because let's be honest, they've got a bit of a lightweight pack. We see that with Holloway and Simmons in the engine room there. And they're all about their backs, aren't they? Phipps, Foley, Beale, Ashley Cooper, and then a back three of Newsom, Clark, Folau, with Carmichael Hunt coming back off to be on the bench. Unfortunately, the Crusaders have a bit of a good forward pack, with Owen Franks getting his 150th cap for the Crusaders, 149th for Super Rugby. It's all made for the Crusaders, isn't it, this one?
I would think so. I mean, it's a pretty strong lineup that they're starting to assemble now, as guys sort of slip back into the mix after, you know, rest to start with. You know, Whitelock, his first game back. Interesting that I thought, you know, they named a team for last week and then the game got cancelled, understandably. But that the fact that they didn't play that game doesn't count for rest purposes. So because they didn't take the whole week off, Scott Barrett and Richie Moanga have to drop out of the side, use this week as their rest. So big chance for Brett Cameron starting at 10. And Quentin Strange replaces Scott Barrett in the pack. But it's a forward pack that's got plenty of quality, and you'd expect them just to dominate the Waratahs up front.
Yeah, and with Sam Whitelock back now, Quinton Strange being one of the best line-out operators in Super Rugby. So, obviously it's a step down from having Scott Barrett, but having Quinton Strange in there and then Luke Morana come off the bench means it's not a weak pack by any stretch of the imagination. As you say, it's going to be really interesting to see how Brett Cameron goes in that 10 jersey. Interesting, Will Jordan's dropped for the bench, given Havili's come back in, so rotating round. I think Jack Goodhue's probably the only player that seems to be the constant there, and he's going to have to be rested at some point, but he's playing very well. We've seen before that adversity brings the best out of the Crusaders on the pitch as well. So I've gone Crusaders by 7, but I think maybe I should have gone bigger than that. What have you?
I agree. I think we'll double Crusaders by 14.
And talking about adversity, we have no lineups news on this one for the Sunwolves versus the Lions in Singapore. But the Sunwolves having been getting told like 2 days before the game or 3 days before the game that they're basically not going to exist in a year and a half's time. Crazy situation for them to find themselves in. It's going to be a big question mark as to whether the Sunwolves just implode or come back and say, put two fingers up to Sanzar and come out fighting, isn't it?
Yeah, I guess it really depends on what motivates players. And I wonder if the fact that, you know, a lot of these guys aren't kind of attached to the Sunwolves. There's no sort of loyalty. They haven't come through the Japanese system. And so a lot of them, I feel, were probably just playing for contracts in the future anyway, as cynical as that kind of sounds. So for guys like that, there's still that opportunity to achieve something out of being a Sunwolves player. So, yeah, it's going to be really interesting to see. I kind of think that maybe it won't be as bad as some people are kind of suggesting, but it's not a great situation to be in for a franchise.
So what, I mean, not as bad as in how the players react, or not as bad as in the long-term future that something else is going to step in?
Well, yeah, in terms of how performance goes, I think I think they probably just carry on to an extent the way they've been going. I think, you know, players are professional. They're playing for contracts, probably not with Super Rugby teams, a lot of them, but with other either Japanese top league clubs or looking at Europe or for some of them, you know, the likes of probably Michael Liddell and Hayden Parker perhaps coming back to New Zealand and getting a spot with someone.
Yeah, and the other thing to bear in mind is that the Japanese international squad now are filtering back into the Sunwolves as well. I think there's like 3 to 5 players are back in that travelling squad. Whilst a lot of people have been saying, oh, there are no Japanese players in this team, part of that is because they've been away with the international squad training. So that we're going to see a change over the next few weeks as more of them filter back in. You don't just switch your entire match day squad. You integrate them back into the side. So we should see that there. The Lions, historically one of the better travelling teams from South Africa. Their whole revival started, 3-4 years ago on tour by winning both their games in New Zealand. So you've got to say that, if it's not like the Stormers, the Sharks, or especially definitely not the Bulls, who really can't travel. So the Lions have been hot and cold this season, though. So with all of that thrown in there, I've only gone Lions by 3. What about yourself?
Well, I covered the Lions game last week, and for the first 45 minutes of that game, they were abysmal. They deserved to be down 33-5 against the Rebels, and the fact that they won was nothing short of a miracle, really. They just flicked the switch. They got great impact off the bench. Lionel Mapu had a great game off the bench. So did Steve Satole, the prop. He was huge. Andres Kutsir off the bench was excellent. But, man, if this is the kind of banana skin game for them, where if they don't start well and if they perform the same way that they did against the Rebels, the Sunwolves could easily, you know, run out to a similar lead. And I think there's going to be lots of points in this game.
I was going to say that's what they did against the Reds last week, wasn't it?
This is true. So, you know, you've got one team that started well last week and fell over, and one team that started poorly and came storming home. Sunwolves' discipline's got to improve, obviously. That's a well-talked about point, leading the league in penalties conceded. I think it'll be high scoring. Both teams want to run it. Both teams aren't great defensively. But you'd have to pick the Lions on quality in a close one.
You would. And these two aren't scared of scoring tries. I mean, we've got the Sunwolves have scored 13. The Lions 19 tries. So, yeah, this is not a Stormers situation at all. The interesting point here is, I guess, two things. One is that the Sunwolves score 3 quarters, or they've scored 9 tries in the first half and only 4 tries in the second half, so 2/3 or so of their tries in the first half. So they need to get out to a good lead. The Lions, it's that third quarter straight after halftime, 8 tries in that quarter. More tries than any other team in any quarter of the game. So, you need to hold the Lions straight after half-time. So come out of their sheds well which hasn't been a great, hasn't been a strength of the Sunwolves. So, yeah, expect the Sunwolves to go out in front and the Lions to come back roaring.
I'd hate to be the Lions coach, by the way, after last week. I mean, they got it back to 33 all and they won a penalty with 7 minutes to go and they kick for the corner. And then they win another penalty and they kick for the corner. And then they win another penalty and there's like 3 minutes to go and they have a scrum. And eventually they drop the ball and you think you just blew 2 points. And then they monster the scrum and get the penalty again and finally kick it. I mean, come on, guys. Come on.
You try and say there's some game now's missing. So Alex has gone Sunwolves by 5 in the chat. I've gone Lions by 3. Which way are you?
Lions by 5.
And they have to. I mean, the South Africa conference is crazy close. So the Bulls, Lions, and Stormers are all on 13 points. The Sharks are on 11 points, and the Jaguars on 9. So it's at the moment that there's not a toothpick between them. They are very, it's very close there. So the Bulls versus the Chiefs. One of the things we said was, or I said early on, was the Bulls get their lineup out early.
I've got breaking news for you, Paul.
Oh, yes.
We just had the Chiefs lineup come in.
Oh well. Let's quickly look at the Bulls one first, though. The Bulls. I was talking about try scoring. The Bulls are one of those teams that don't score many tries. Only 9 tries so far this season, but they've only let in 7. So second best defensive team after the Sharks, who've only let in 6. So Omri Pollard and his kicking at altitude is a big part of this team. They've got all their names, Ondal, Creel, Hendricks, Speckman, Rousseau. So you've got Hendricks with the old guy on one wing and Speckman with no experience who loves dancing like it's sevens on the other wing. For such an exciting team, it's amazing they've scored so few tries, really, I guess.
Yeah, it's just really about their game plan, isn't it? It's all about kicking, playing territory, backing their defense, forcing teams into penalties, and then kicking their points, you know, and they're a little bit old school in that fashion that they don't, you know, they get a penalty 40 metres out, they're not going to the corner. Andre Pollard's walking up to the referee and saying, poles, and then invariably knocking it through. So they're happy to go up in threes. And the other thing too is that they are one of the teams that's probably named the most settled lineup week to week, them and the Sharks. So lots of continuity. They get Berger Odendale back this week. I think there are only maybe 3 changes. Devon Rousseau comes in at the back, and there's another one in the forwards. But yeah,
they've brought in Steenkamp for the breakdown.
Yeah.
The Chiefs want Chiefs lineup. Then you just said you've got that. It was interesting to see that David McKenzie was named amongst the back 3 players for the touring squad. So I'm assuming Damian McKenzie at 15?
Damian McKenzie is at 15 with Solomon Alomalo starting on the left wing.
Oh.
Jack DeBrasini starts at 10.
Yep.
The rest of the back line, no real surprises. And the forward pack, pretty much as expected. Ross Harris, Talval, Retallick. Mitchell Brown gets the other locking spot. Luke Jacobson, Lachlan Bashir, and Tyler Ardron.
So pretty much as expected. So one thing that's going to be interesting, Harris has got the worst record of any hooker or any at least mainstream hooker for lineouts. So it's going to be interesting to see how he goes. If you've got the Bulls kicking threes and you've got the Chiefs kicking to the corner and they're messing up their lineouts, that's pretty much, I think, how the game's going to go at the moment. Any difference do you think to that, or do you think the Chiefs are going to just try to razzle dazzle and drop the ball too much?
Until the Chiefs show me otherwise, you just can't pick them, can you? I mean, they have been poor. And going to Loftus, it's the kind of trip that could perhaps just kind of bring a team together, but until they show it, not for me.
Yeah, and it's the first time they've actually managed to get De Bruyne on the park. He's been injured. So I think this is the kind of the settled playmaker, or the steady playmaker, and then Dave McKenzie, Wizzy Wiz, off the back of that is the right combination. I've gone Bulls by 7, but Alex has gone Bulls by 10, and Good for the Game has gone Bulls by 25 in the live chat.
Wow.
I'm guessing you've not gone quite that big.
They'd have to score tries to do that, but I'll go Bulls by 12.
Oh, so that's pretty impressive. That's pretty big.
This would have to be the matchup of two of the biggest tens in the comp too, with Pollard up against De Bruyne, two heavyweight tens, relatively speaking.
Yes, in physical size rather than necessarily reputations, especially on De Bruyne's side.
Yes.
We then head to the coast for the Sharks versus Rebels. Now, if there's any coach that's earning his keep this week, apart from Razor Robinson, who obviously has got a hard job there, but it's got to be Wessels, hasn't it? I mean, Rebels absolutely capitulating to the Lions. In what kind of mindset are they going to be in, do you think?
I think the fact that they go back to sea level was a big help, because they just ran out of juice in that second half. And once the Lions got momentum, started throwing the ball around, and basically the Rebels just couldn't get back on side time and again. I mean, penalty count 20-1. I mean, you're not going to win many games like that, even though that they scored 33 points. And for what they were worth, you know, they were worth that lead, but they probably...
You think so? I thought that the Lions just were making errors, and that actually the Rebels were sort of feeding off those errors, and then the Lions just stopped making errors in the second half and just ran away with it.
I see your point, but I also think there's credit into forcing those errors. They played with a lot of line speed, which, you know, forced a couple of intercepts, a couple of turnovers, and they made the most of that, and they scored one brilliant counter-attacking try where they went 90 metres. They scored another great try off set piece where they went platform with Meeks and then Nicerani around the corner. But I wonder whether that strategy just in the end at altitude actually kind of handicapped them coming into the last, you know, 30 minutes, because they couldn't sustain that line speed. And you're right, once the Lions started hanging onto the ball, got that impact off the bench, it was a different story.
And they are a team that are run by Genia and Cooper. And so as soon as Will Genia gets subbed, it's probably the biggest drop-off out of any substitution you'll get anywhere in Super Rugby between the starter and the replacement. So it's no surprise that actually the Rebels really struggled to score in that last quarter and to close games out.
And I mean, Guinea had come off one of the greatest refereeing performances you'll ever see the week before to rally back against the Brumbies, and he just didn't get any luck with that, trying to get an Egon Seconds ear. So that had a factor too, I think.
So I mentioned earlier the Sharks' defence is the best in the league, only given up 6 tries so far this season. So the Rebels really are going to have their work cut out to unlock that. It's going to be interesting to see how that pans out. I just can't see that the Sharks losing this one. I think they're just going to cause the Rebels. I think Rebels are just going to be shell shocked and in some real trouble. So I've gone Sharks by 3. Alex has gone Sharks by 5 in the live chat. How big are you going?
Sharks by 8.
By 8. Ooh. Bold, sir. Bold. finally, Reds versus the Brumbies. Now, this is the one that I think everyone up till now, I think it's been pretty obvious who to pick. This is the one where I think actually is that's going to split people. You're shaking your head there.
Oh, no, absolutely. Like, I've just got no clue. It was a shake, because you're right. I've just got no idea which way to go.
So one of the things we were talking about beforehand is that the Brumbies have scored 2/3 of their tries off first phase. So basically, it's that kick to the corner, line out maul. So if you can stop, if you can just not give up penalties, so they can't kick to the corner, if you can stop that first phase of the Brumbies, you basically stop them from scoring points. And in the Reds, we have a team that actually is pretty good against first phase ball. They're only given up 4 tries against first phase, whereas they've given up 7 tries off second and third phase. So teams that can sort of go through a couple of phases will find holes in the Reds. The Brumbies, though, are a team that don't do that. So in some ways, this is the perfect matchup for the Reds, it feels like.
Yeah, and I think a lot of the focus has to be on discipline and obviously countering that line-out drive. Because if you can just stifle those opportunities for the Brumbies, they're not a team that's going to carve you to ribbons with their backs, or they don't have a lot of great ball carriers. They really are a side that you can't see them scoring tries outside of the rolling ball. So. But you're right, the Brumbies, I mean, how do you pick their game? So one week you think they rip the Chiefs to shreds, you think they've turned a corner and then they can't back it up.
But everyone's ripped the Chiefs to shreds, haven't they?
True. So it's easy in hindsight now that we know that. I didn't give them a hope last week against the Waratahs after they'd fallen apart against the Rebels. And what do you know, they turn in a good performance and pick up the points. So, whew.
But again, that's a team. I mean, the Waratahs, 46 penalties this year, so they're in that sort of mid-pack. They've got a lightweight front five. The Reds, 31 penalties. Only the Blues have given away less penalties this season, with 30. So they're a very clean side from a discipline point of view. They've got a pack. They might not have the best. They might not have the best back line. I mean, they've got one good player back there. But they've got a pack that's gritty, so I think this is the perfect matchup for the Reds, and I've gone even though, I mean, the Reds, let's be honest, are having a poor season. They just don't seem to know how to win. Okay, they came back against Sunwolves, but they've got good performances in, but just not got results. So I'm backing Reds by 3 here because I think psychologically they don't know how to win games. Yourself?
Well, I can't pick it, so I'm going to pick a draw.
Oh, my word.
So, hey, why not?
So, good for the game's gone. Reds by 7. Alex, Reds by 2. But Pierce has gone Brumbies by 7. So, I say, this is the one game of the round where I think it's going to split people. Every other one are pretty foregone as to which way I think people will... we'll go. So remind everybody what your job. What the Tribe Sports app is getting up to again?
Yeah, so get the Tribe Sports app. Live rugby commentary. We'll have all the Super Rugby. We'll have live commentary of the Major League Rugby. There's plenty of other scoring and commentary on there as well. Not just rugby, but a whole bunch of other sports as well, if that takes your fancy. And if you want to have a rugby discussion or otherwise on Twitter, then you can follow me at New York Nixon.
Cool. So there you go, folks. That's what it looks like on the old app. See, I follow the Major League Rugby as well as all the other stuff. Don't forget to subscribe to the channel up there. I'll be live straight after the Saturday night game for the Hurricanes versus the Stormers. I'll be on Ashwin's couch. And I think Stephen's going to join us as well. So join us for post-match reaction to that game. Down there is a link to Patreon. So the way you can get exclusive access to my opinion pieces on Wednesday, to Driving More versus the bookie. How am I doing with those Super Rugby picks? And also behind the curtains, you get to see how the business side of Driving More all runs as well. So what tech I use, what social media strategies, etc. So if you want to get to see all of that, and help me bring all and help to support me bring all this free content to you, then become a Patreon down there. And over there, the artificial intelligence at YouTube says those are 2 videos you'll enjoy. So go and watch them.